everyone, and welcome to Oh, a Podcast, the podcast about playing games and making games, brought to you by O-Rock Studios. I'm Paul Franzen, the head boy of O-Rock.
And I'm Michael Gray. I'm totally blanking. I had a line prepared and I forgot it. I'm the holiday cheermeister. Yeah.
Cheermeister. Oh, I love it. What holiday cheer are you bringing us this year, Michael?
I got everybody new stockings.
New stockings. Is there anything in the stockings?
But no, but I worked really hard doing pixel art of a picture of a rock on the outside of them.
Oh man, I wish that was real, because that sounds really sweet now.
Spoiler alert, it's just a circle.
Oh, well, it sounds gorgeous, and I look forward to getting it in the mail.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So lots of exciting stuff this month, by which I mean the new Nancy Drew game came out, and everyone wants to hear about it.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing stuff, yeah. Oh, do you want me to go through the whole saga?
There's a saga? This sounds great. Yes, I would love to hear whatever the saga is.
Oh, have you seen the trailer for it?
Nope.
Oh, man, so the trailer came out like 2 or 3 days before the game drops, and it's really obvious that the dialogue in the trailer doesn't match with what the characters are actually saying.
Oh.
So when everybody watches, they're like, why is the lip syncing so terrible? But now that I've actually played the game, we're like, oh, yeah, they were just dubbing over those lines with dramatic lines, so the characters are saying something dramatic in the trailer.
Oh, that's very confusing. Okay.
Yeah, so everybody thought this game just this terrible, I guess, dubbing. It's like the mouths don't at all look correct. Yeah. And I guess that's true for the trailer.
That's a bad look for a game that at least I was a little skeptical about, considering how long it's taken to come out. That's usually not a great sign when games get delayed. And that trailer would seem to be yet another sign that it was in trouble, but I guess not. So is it good?
I guess so.
Oh no.
It's got the... Okay, well... I'm trying to figure out which angle to go about it from as a game developer. It looks like it probably could have used a bit more time to smooth out the graphics and things.
They spent 10 years on this game.
I know, but they only did half the characters. So half the characters look like, you know, they're HD and great, and then the other half, everybody complains they look like Sims 2 characters. That was like the main consensus on the trailer, so I feel really bad. I don't know what else they could have done differently, though, with the trailer. So I actually got to reveal, my name's in the credits. I actually got to be one of the testers for the game. That was one of the
really?
Big secrets that I had to keep forever.
Oh, that's so cool. Oh, congrats.
Yeah, I was not one of those like testers we have for O-Rock Studios who get to play through the whole game. I got to basically see this 5-minute segment among some other things. And it turns out it's like the second to last segment of the game. So when I was playing it, it's like, I know the part has to be coming up sometime soon. Where is it? I don't see it anywhere. And they actually took my advice for one of the comments I made on it, which was great. That's something I felt really happy about. It's like, yay, I got to help improve the game with my testing comments.
Oh, that's so cool. So did they reach out to you, or did you reach out to them to get this gig?
They reached out to me.
Oh, that's fantastic. So that's cool. So it was like was it a puzzle sequence that you were testing, or what was it?
It was the sort of the end of the game where Nancy's in a room with May, and they're sort of trapped in this room, and Nancy has to solve a couple of puzzles in order to figure out how to get out of there.
What's it? It's called Midnight in Salem, right? That's the name of the new Nancy Drew game.
Yes, it's Midnight in Salem. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that. Yeah.
So I wanted to. I don't know. That's probably going to be forever until I actually write like a full review and do a full review. But, you know, now I've played the game a couple of times. It's not bad. It's definitely grown on me. Once you get used to the character models, that's good. The first part of the game, I think, is a little harsh, because it reminds me of our second Francie Drew game, where there's this little tutorial segment. And it's basically Nancy in this room, and she has to solve a couple of puzzles to find this book. And then the culprit steals the book. She chases after the culprit into the woods. And after that, she gets a phone call, and she goes to Salem to solve the mystery. So it's basically a tutorial segment teaching you, you know, here are the controls. You have a bunch of tutorials which show up on screen saying, you know, right-click to, you know, move the camera around and such. So guess how long that intro segment is.
I have no idea. How long is it?
It is 15 to 20 minutes. There is a lot of dialogue. This game is very dialogue-heavy. I'll actually check right now, because I know I did that for my walkthrough. I cut off at the end of this opening segment. And then after that, 18 minutes, yeah? It takes 18 minutes to get through the opening tutorial segment. And then after that, we have... you get thrown into this long conversation with Deirdre Shannon where she basically explains the case to you, and then they arrive at the victim's house, and we get thrown into a long conversation with the victim's sister. And so it's a good, like, 30 minutes before you get to start the game proper where you can control Nancy and move around. Most of the start is just conversations. And the end of the game is sort of that way, too, so there are actually three different endings, so I was playing the game over and over again to see what the three endings are. And with the endings, like, 90% of the dialogue is the same for the various endings. But just skipping through the dialogue, you can click in order to skip dialogue. There's just so much clicking you have to do. It's just a very dialogue-heavy game. I feel like that's what's turning some people off. It takes a while to... I'm used to it now, but it's still... That was one of the harder things to get used to.
Interesting. So I guess it's significantly more dialogue than in the previous games?
Significantly more dialogue, yeah. And there's more... They put some focus on, you know, what's the correct word for the dialogue that the player 100% has to see in order to beat the game? And then the versus the optional dialogue?
Yeah.
They put... not too much thought into that. Pretty much everything's in the, so what I would do is I'd recommend just moving more of the necessary dialogue into optional dialogue. That's what I suggest, because I think every single day of the game, there are 3 days of the game, it kind of starts with a long recap of the case, which, I mean, I guess is good, but at the same time, I think it would have been helpful if it was the option where you just, it's like, okay, we don't need everybody to spend 15 minutes saying what they're going to do this day. Let me actually get to playing and figure it out myself, because it's all on your task list anyway.
Right, and especially if you're playing the game, like, all at once, like, you don't necessarily need a big, long recap of something you were just doing, like, 20 minutes ago.
Yeah.
I would imagine.
And one of the random things, necessary piece of dialogue is the judge, this old guy complaining he doesn't understand what Bitcoin is. It's like, what in Sam heck is a Bitcoin? And Nancy tries to explain it, and he doesn't understand it. It's like, they always do this digital stuff nowadays. Grr, what's wrong with good old money? And then never gets mentioned again. Then we move on to the main reason we talk to him, which is, hey, I need the code for the room, for the evidence room.
That should be mandatory. I desperately need to see the scene where Nancy Drew has to explain Bitcoin to a confused old man. That sounds awesome.
It's great.
That sounds important and great. So how far are you in your walkthrough of the game on YouTube?
Yeah, I've got a cold now, so I wasn't able to record at all today or yesterday. So I am on part 11, so I'm about halfway through the game. I'm about halfway through day 2 of the game.
The Clue crew must be dying for you to finish this game.
I keep waiting to get angry comments. It was like, where's the next part? Where's the next part? Where's the next part?
Yeah, I wonder, because I've seen Hugh Miller's been doing his playthrough on YouTube, too. I wonder who's going to win the race.
I think he won.
Oh, he already won.
I think he already did. Yeah, I'm not even going to try to race that.
So it sounds like, did the game come out like a few days early on Steam or something? It seemed like from my Twitter, like it just kind of was released out of nowhere. People were surprised
out of nowhere.
By it
was released out of nowhere on Steam, like a few hours early.
Oh, okay, only a few hours early. Okay,
but I don't know. I don't think it was 100% clarified whether the game would drop on Steam at the same time as it dropped on their website. I thought it was going to drop on their website first.
Okay.
But no, Steam got the jump on them, which is weird because you can control when games come out on Steam.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's accidentally coming out a few hours early, that's...
Maybe it was just something as simple as like a time zone issue. Maybe the time zones got mixed up on Steam.
Yeah, I know they do everything on West Coast time because they're near Seattle. So
I always have to do the math whenever I'm doing anything with times on Steam to make sure it's at the correct time for me.
Yeah, they put the Bitcoin guy in charge of it. Oh, let me see. So. You were aware of, like, they delayed the game, like, 2 weeks. And now I'm just wondering from, like, a production standpoint, what they did during those last 2 weeks.
It sounded like they added, like, 150 pages of dialogue.
Oh, okay, that's what they were doing?
No, I don't know what you could get done with 2 weeks unless it was just they found some last-minute bugs that they absolutely needed to clear up before release, something like that.
Yeah, it sounds like there are a couple of bugs that people have run into. Like, the game has definitely crashed on me, I think, twice.
Okay.
I don't know what I did, to be honest, but it's got an autosave feature, so it's no big deal. It sounds like this game just eats up a lot of RAM, and so people with the older computers are having trouble. Because I think the way they did the previous games was they basically rendered the environment in-house. I'm not sure what the technical term is, but they made like 3D models of the entire environment. So like, it's the house that Nancy's exploring. They've got the whole 3D model of the house, and they just took a picture of from various angles of the house, because it's a first-person adventure game. Whereas I think with this game, they're actually making all the stuff appear in real time.
Yeah, I'm looking at one of your videos now to get an idea of what it looks like. It's really interesting, because I feel like, we've talked about this before. I have very little experience with Nancy Drew, but I know you're really into it and your fans are really into it. My impression of is the way the games are usually structured is that it's basically a bunch of different individual backgrounds that you kind of click on arrows to try to traverse, right? Like it's like a whole, like, you know, 500 different images that you kind of go through. Does that sound about right?
Yeah.
So I'm looking at this now. Yeah, I can see it. It's all like, instead of doing it that way, it is like one big 3D space that you're still kind of navigating the same way, but it's set up totally differently. Like it's an actual, first person space that you're exploring.
Yeah, it's sort of like, I guess, I don't know why the first game that comes to mind is like the Telltale Monkey Island games, but it's like, you're exploring a 3D environment as opposed to just static backgrounds.
Yeah, but it's interesting because you're still, like, clicking on the different, like, you're clicking forward to move, like, forward, you know, 10 steps or whatever, like 10 paces. It's interesting that they did it that way and not just, like, the way most first-person games do it, where you're just kind of directly moving with an analog stick. You move forward and you just move forward. You're not simulating a screen-by-screen experience like they appear to be doing here.
So, I can talk about that.
Oh,
does
please.
It make a difference that it's a first-person adventure game, though? Because I know with the Telltale games, it's usually like third-person, right? And so it's easier to move your character around.
Well, I'm kind of comparing it to Gone Home, if you ever played or watched that, or Firewatch, where you just you're just moving around like you're moving in like a first person shooter kind of game. Like you just move. You're not clicking on.
Or like Slender Man, yeah.
Yeah. So I guess I'm just surprised they didn't do that because that might give it a more modern feel. But I wonder if they were not doing that specifically because they wanted to stick with the classic Nancy Drew feel. So I guess while we're on this topic, I'm going to jump ahead and do listener questions right now because this is the thing that listeners had questions about.
Okay, let's do it.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess we've already sort of talked about this, but Allison Rose wanted to know, what are your thoughts on the new Nancy Drew game experience? So is it overall like a thumbs up, you think?
Hmm. You know, I'm not a huge fan of the UI. As you can see, the inventory is a lot smaller. But when they were releasing screenshots of the game, I thought, oh, well, this is an unfinished screenshot. That can't actually be the inventory. But no, it's really those tiny little buttons.
Yeah, I was going to say, is this what I'm looking at right now at the bottom of the screen? There's like a photograph and a spray can. Oh,
whereas that previously, is quite tiny. And like with most adventure games, they generally have like a version of the item, like an actual picture of the crowbar or whatever. Whereas now it's just a little stylized picture of a generic crowbar or a generic book. I think Nancy carries several like generic books in this game, so not a huge fan of this. And yeah, it is really tiny. I guess, way back when in the early days, the inventory took up a huge portion of the screen. But generally, when I play adventure games, I like having the entire inventory out at once, and that's what this does.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Do Nancy Drew games normally have the inventory out on the screen like that, or is it usually in its separate inventory screen?
They've done it both ways. So they had a separate inventory screen for like half the series, and then the other half, it's just out there at the bottom of the screen.
I gotta say, I think the graphics actually look really nice. I haven't looked too closely at the character models, but the backgrounds look great. They actually look kind of stylized, almost like not like 100% realistic. Kind of like if there's a slider bar between realistic and cartoony, it looks like it's like a hair or two closer to cartoony. I think it looks nice.
Yeah, I really like the background. I mean, the backgrounds are clearly the best part.
Yeah, of the entire game or just of the graphics.
Of the graphics. I don't know. Hopefully not the entire game. Yeah, but no, definitely the background graphics are fantastic. So yes. No complaints about those.
So overall, a positive Nancy Drew experience?
I'm still trying to figure that out.
Oh, you're still not sure? Oh, no.
I'm still on the fence.
I didn't think this would be that tough of a question. That's a bad sign.
I know. It's...
Well, I guess you're not finished it yet, or have you actually played the whole game already?
I played the whole game through, yeah. Okay. I'm still working on my walkthrough, but my hesitant... I was going to rate it like a 6 or 7 out of 10. I think that was my initial impression, and replaying the game isn't changing my impression too much of it. I still think it's just way too dialogue heavy, and they only finished half the characters.
Oh wow! Yeah, I'm still watching your video. There are a lot of things you can ask the judge right now,
and two of those are important conversations.
That's interesting.
I also kind of miss having a hint button too.
There's no hint button.
The UI. There's no hint button. You have to figure everything out on your own, like it's the 90s or something.
Oh no. Personally, I've been waiting for the Arklefump walkthrough so I can figure out what to do, so, you know.
That's funny. I am trying to figure out how to do some of the puzzles, because one of the puzzles is in, like, pure 3D. But I think I figured out a good way to demonstrate that puzzle solution.
Oh, yeah, I think I saw on Facebook or Twitter somewhere that you got stuck in a puzzle about giving somebody ingredients.
Oh, yeah. That was ridiculous. No, just what people said online was wrong. They said, all you have to do is make this person's remedies, like, a bunch of times, and she'll give you another herb. And it turns out, no, you actually need to see her page, like a hidden page that she's hiding in her book. So you need to snoop around and see her page. And then make three recipes. And then she gives you her special ingredient. It's just totally not obvious that she would reward you with a secret ingredient after you spy on her. It's an totally optional thing, so that's what totally threw me off. But it's one of the several optional things. I know they've had like optional mini games in previous games, so it makes me wonder if this was supposed to be something and they just didn't have enough time to incorporate it into the storyline. Because right now it's optional, completely optional, that you can make herbal remedies for people in this game. And there's also an optional puzzle where you can give people pancakes, and an optional puzzle where you can put pumpkins all around town for Halloween.
So do these optional puzzles, like, do they, you said there were multiple endings, so this stuff, does this impact what ending you get, or?
No, or not the slightest.
No, okay. I think it's where do those different endings come from?
You say different things during the long conversation at the end. It's you saying person A should get the house, or person B should get the house, or they should both share the house, basically.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see. So it's one of those games where it's basically just like one decision that you make like right at the very end sort of determines the ending that you get.
Yeah.
That's interesting, because I feel like that's very much not in vogue right now. Is sort of the one decision at the very end thing.
I did that with the kidnap prom queen, actually, and that's one of the things the testers did not like. especially because it was the secret ending, so it's like you have to beat all three pathways in order to see it, and so I went and reprogrammed it where you can see all three of the secret endings, including the one that's the official one. But, yeah, one of the testers came back to me with questions about the storyline, but, like, it's explained in the ending. Oh, wait. You got the ending, which leaves that out. Oh, okay. But the kidnap prom queen, lots of stuff going on with that, too. Unless we've got more listener questions.
Oh, we do have... No, you still have to give me an answer. So is it a good experience or bad experience?
Putting me on the spot. I'd say it would... really depend on you and whether you like dialogue or story heavy games, because this does not have enough like puzzles as I was expecting, or mystery. It's incredibly linear, so I'm also planning a speedrun. I'm like, this speedrun's going to be very easy to route because it's an incredibly linear game, and I've always preferred the Nancy Drew games, which are less linear and more puzzle heavy. That's just my personal favorite, because you could basically do whatever you want in any order you want. Whereas in this game, I think, at most you can do four different things at once, and that's on day two. But two of the things on your list of four things to do are ask everybody about their alibi from a week ago, and ask everybody about their alibi from 3 days ago. So that doesn't really count as four things, if you ask me. And the other things are investigate the house that got burned down, and investigate the break-in at the judge's office. So those are cool. Those investigations are cool. And then the rest is just talk to everybody about everything. I like the Hardy Boys. The Hardy Boys were in it. I liked Deirdre Shannon. So I like the returning characters that were in this game. I think this game, as a writer, I would have hit different beats and different spots. Because it kind of does the Phoenix Wright thing where it's like, bam, big plot twists from out of nowhere. And then, bam, big plot twists from out of nowhere again and again. And every single character needs to have their big plot twist towards the end. And so I'm like, oh my gosh, just let me get on with saving the day. if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. It follows a little plot twist heavy towards the end. I'm trying not to go into spoiler territory, but also none of the spoilers would make sense to you because you don't know who these characters are. So,
yeah. Well, I'm just thinking that maybe this would be a good Nancy Drew game for me to try out, because I think I would be more interested in the text and the story and not as much in the puzzles. I've the very, very few times I've tried to play Nancy Drew games, I usually get stuck on the puzzles and get bored and stop playing. So maybe this would be more the game for me.
Yeah, it could be. And like, I think there are like three different overlapping crimes and criminals. Yeah. I think that's how they ended up doing it, with everybody having a plot twist. Just because, okay, everybody's the culprit. Everybody's guilty of something.
Hey, wait, they did steal that from Francie Drew.
Well, they did have an everybody's the culprit ending in the one game, but the way they played it off was this one guy is the main culprit, and then the two other people were unwilling henchmen. They didn't want to go along with it, but they were basically being blackmailed into doing it.
Sure.
So that way you get to have both endings, I guess. It's like the game tried to have it both ways. It's like, we've got one culprit, but also everyone's the culprit.
Yeah, so I guess we did have another question, but I think we've pretty much answered that. It was from Rose, who wanted to know if there is anything about the new Nancy Drew game you would like to change. And it sounds like there are a few things that you would like to change.
Also, the character, the idle animations for the characters, those are terribly distracting. And I remember mentioning it when I was testing the game. This is probably kind of strange, but I had just watched that week. It was the Nostalgia Critic review of Tom and Jerry and the Wizard of Oz, where he complained about the animation in that the characters are constantly moving, as opposed to any scene where a character just stands still for like 3 seconds. And that was fresh in my mind when I was, you know, testing out the game. But most of the characters have these idle animations, and they're just constantly moving, and I find it distracting. It's very different from, say, the earlier games in the series, when they would save on animation by having the character stand still and, like, never move. But, yeah, the idle animations, particularly for Joe, it looks like he has to go to the bathroom. He keeps dancing back and forth on his left leg and his right leg.
Oh, no.
I'm not the only one who's noticed this.
Oh, no! Oh, Joe. All right, well, now that we've scared away all of the listeners who just want to hear us talk about game development and not Nancy Drew, how would you like to talk about game development a little bit?
Yeah, the Kidnapped Prom Queen. So I finished testing. I sent it to the editors, or the publishers. And they came back to me with three different things. Let me pull this up.
Sure.
So they did an initial content review, and there are three things that their people caught that they wanted changed. And two of them were in Chapter 1, and then one was Chapter 8 of Route 2. So I don't know how common it is for them. I don't know how thorough these content review people are. So I don't know if this means, oh, wow, I did really well, or if it means they just skimmed it and didn't really care. So the first thing they wanted to exchange, they wanted me to change my description of the foreign exchange student from Spain, which is fine. That's not a problem for me. My original line was, he perfectly fits the stereotype, tall, dark skin with even darker hair. And some of the girls at school gush over his accent. So they wanted me to change that. So, and then the other thing they want to change, if you have a male main character, it's a joke about him trying to flirt with his crush and failing miserably. And the line goes, you know, sometimes you just don't understand girls, which I'd say that's a pretty common joke, but they wanted to change that, so I changed it too. But the third thing they wanted to change was Route 2, Chapter 8, where the scripted kiss between the main character and an NPC. I wonder if is NPC the correct term to use. I guess
it's definitely not a player character, so
yeah. Anyway, there's a dramatic kiss between the main character and a female love interest, if you're playing as the male one. And they wanted, it's like, well, the player doesn't get a chance to opt out of the kiss if you want. Mm-hmm. But one of the testers had specifically mentioned that was their favorite part of the game, was the romance. So I'm like, oh no.
Oh. Yeah, I know this. Yeah, I know. Choice of games as a whole, they I mean, that's sort of one of their core design tenets, as I understand it. They want everything to be as open and as customizable as possible. They want you they generally want you to be able to choose the gender, the sexual preference, including like asexual or aromantic and everything. So I can see where they're coming from, that they wouldn't necessarily want this kiss that has to happen no matter what. I mean, just based on their general design preferences. Well, it's cool that it sounds like they were being pretty thorough in their content testing here. I mean, these are pretty deep issues for them to have brought to your attention. So hopefully that does mean that they didn't just miss a lot of stuff. Seems like they were doing a pretty thorough job. So that's cool.
Well, good. I mean, but like I said, they mentioned three different things throughout this script, which is super huge. So that's why I was questioning whether or not they had looked into a lot or not. But sure. Yeah. So I mean, changing that would have involved like changing the ending for that character too. So I don't know. It would have been a lot of work. So I thought I was done. So that was like 10 days or 10 days or so ago. It's like, hey, here are the things that caught your attention. We need you to change this. And then like yesterday, they just slapped me with this giant list of other stuff they need.
Oh no.
Oh no. Yeah. A lot of it is stuff that I'd, you know, done before. Like they want you know, description of the game so they can put in the Apple Store, and they need artwork for the Google Play Store and such.
All that fun stuff, yeah. And they demanded that you stop typing everything in Comic Sans, I assume.
Yes, they don't like that at all. They actually want, I'm going to bring this up now, achievements. It's interesting, because, you know, I'd asked all my testers, you know, what sort of achievements do you think would work for this game? Mm-hmm. And they had some great ideas, but they all seemed really hard to program. So, like, for example, it's like, okay, well, you should get an achievement if you get a wrong answer on every single puzzle. But it's like, that means for every single puzzle, I'd have to write this long check. You know, it's like, check, did they get question A wrong? Did they question B wrong? Question C wrong? If so, then grant the achievement.
Yeah, I think, did we talk about this a little last month? I don't know, I think, was the classic achievements for story-based games are like one for the end of each chapter and one for all the different endings, stuff like that, I would think.
That's going to do something like that. I think I'll do one at the end of all the three pathways, because each pathway is like 40,000 words or so.
I already forget what we did in Pizza Boy.
And then there are story-based achievements, but I mean, those, I'm not always a huge fan of those, because that's like the one you have to unlock if you're just playing the game normally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks like so a lot of the ones that we put in Pizza Boy were definitely story-driven ones. It was just like, meet someone claiming to be your future self. So it wasn't like chapter-based, it was like event-based. this one called The Ultimate Sleepover, have yourself stay over at your apartment. One called You Got There Eventually for taking 3 tries to find the right apartment, which is funny because you always have to take 3 tries to find the right apartment. That's just how the game's coded.
Yeah,
stuff like that. One for winning. One for clicking on our social media icons on the title screen. Let's see. One for naming your character John Cena. Messing up the pizza game, yeah. Oh, and one for dying. That's fun.
Oh, yeah.
Achievement, you have died, with the description, maybe pizza delivery isn't for you.
It's interesting, because I'm reading their list of achievement stuff now. It looks like, just like everything else, the Apple Store doesn't agree with the Google Store, which doesn't agree with Steam on how achievements should go. So,
of course.
Apparently the Apple Store gives out, they give achievements and points, in case you didn't know. So each game has a total of 1,000 points that it can distribute among all achievements, and no achievement can be more than 100.
Hmm.
It seems like an interesting limitation, yeah.
That's kind of similar to Xbox. I haven't played any of the Xbox One games, but I know on the 360, I think it was 1,000 was the limit for those, too, and it was the same thing. I think you could have achievements that were worth more than 100 points, though. So that's interesting. So do you have to have exactly 1,000? Can you have less than that? I guess you wouldn't want to have less than that.
I guess you can have less than that, but yeah. Then I would have to make at least over 10 achievements.
That's what I was. That's where I was going to go with that, yeah. You have to
that
come up with at least 10.
That involves work and trying, yeah.
Yeah.
So what Apple needs to individually approve the achievements. Apparently, that's how Apple works.
Wow.
And Apple recommends not using all 1,000 points on the first version of the game because they're expecting you to do updates and new content. And it looks like there's a couple of different ways you can do the achievements with the there's like a little banner. I don't know, you've seen this in Steam, right? Where it's like, oh,
yeah,
you unlock the achievement and it appears in the upper left-hand corner.
Yeah, yeah. You get the little icon.
I know with Steam specifically, it's like it only shows up the first time you unlock that achievement. If you're replaying the game, it doesn't show up a second time, right?
Right, right. It does not, yeah. You can only unlock an achievement once.
Yeah, so it looks like you have to... I mean, you can have it either way on the Apple Store, but you'd have to... program it differently to prevent the achievement showing up every single time you unlock it. So that's something different between Steam and the Apple Store, is how they handle achievements. But yeah, and so I'm trying to get the Kelly the Bridesmaid to do art for that, because
cool.
I feel kind of bad because, you know, I originally used her as the model, as the main character of the game. And without telling her. So I'm like, hey, you could do the art for it. It's not a visual novel anymore, so it makes no difference whatsoever that I used her as placeholder art for the main character. But yeah, but the art is, it just takes forever, which is why I just had a dedicated art person last time for
right.
1 Minute Mysteries.
Yeah, and you're just talking because... about just like... the Steam and Apple Store art, right? Like, because this is a text game. There isn't really art in the game itself, is there?
Yeah, there's no art in the game itself. I know that's an option, but I don't think people generally take that option because that involves effort.
Yeah, so this is all just like a million different store assets you have to make, basically.
Basically, let me see if I can find them. Gosh, yeah. Icon, title text, landscape promotional images... with three different sizes. Splash screen with 1, 2, 3, 4 sizes. Steam has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 sizes.
Yeah, well, Steam has even more images than last time I released a game there, so that's fun.
Yeah, that was actually fun when they updated that. I got to use some of the trading card art, which will never be seen ever. So I'm like, hey, guess what? I got to reuse that the trading card art. Made me happy.
Oh man, I still can't get trading cards for Pizza Boy. Thought I'd check since we were talking
about
it.
How long are they going to make us wait?
It's been over a year. It's a real game. Let me have trading cards.
My wife had no idea that the game came out, by the way.
The Pizza Boy came out?
With her the other day.
So
I'm like, Pizza Boy came out a long time ago. Yeah. And she's like, oh, I didn't know.
Oops.
I thought you were still working on it.
Oh, boy. Wow, we must have done a really bad job promoting it, huh? Your own wife didn't even know it was out.
Yeah. Well, she just wants to focus on Cat President 2, I guess.
Oh, let's see. Yeah, it came out September 6, 2018. So it's been a little while. Yeah, I can give you a quick update on Cat President 2 if you're interested.
Sure, why not? I might pass it on to her. Keep her up to date, yeah.
Well, I mean, we're not that close to finishing it, but I'm a big chunk of the way through the second pathway now. I'm like part of the way through Chapter 7. I had a little bit of a bottleneck on one of the chapters because it was a scene where we had three different human characters, and each of them had a lot of different expressions, a lot of different poses, so it took me a very, very long time to edit all the art for that scene.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I think you do.
They are in multiple scenes together, aren't they?
They are. It's fine. It was just a lot of art to have to do all at once, but now most of that is done, so when they appear later in the game, it shouldn't be that big of an issue now. But yeah, that was a solid, like, I want to say at least like a week was just that. I did manage to finish Friends on Netflix while I was doing it, though, so it was very productive for me.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll be interested in seeing that. In my mind, I was sort of thinking of the, I guess you would call it the harem scene from the Frisky Pathway Cat President 1, where similar, we've got this cat who's talking to three or four different human characters.
Yeah. I mean, it's only because we're doing the different expressions for the human characters in this game. If we were doing it the easy way like we did last time, it wouldn't take that long. But, you know, it takes 8 or 9 times as long as it would normally would now because of the different expressions. And since there's 3 characters, it's, 27 times as long.
Oh, I was gonna say, with the parent characters, we've got the mom and dad yet, or
I have the models lined up. Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay.
And it is the person you saw respond on Facebook. He's gonna be the dad.
That's good. I know I have like one of my parent friends who would love to do it, but she's like 7 or 8 months pregnant, so maybe. Not now.
Yeah, I'll keep you posted. I haven't heard back from the person who said they wanted to be the mom, so I might get back in touch with you about that later. I'll try to remember that.
Yeah, get one of my family members to do it. I don't know.
Yeah, no. I was speaking of which. So I don't need them yet, but I was looking at my casting list, and we do have both you and Katie signed up to play characters at some point. You're playing, according to my notes, the director, I believe.
Yep. And then, I need to take those pictures. Not now, my face is hideous.
Oh, I'm sure your face is beautiful. But yeah, I think it's the 2 parents we don't have pictures for, and then you, and then Katie as Miss Hardy, and then I haven't taken my pictures yet either, so I can't complain. I'm playing fanboy.
Oh, man, I'll have to look up where Miss Hardy is so I can actually get the pictures from her.
But yeah, I was, as much time as it takes to do the character photo editing, I mean, it's very relaxing work for me. Like, it doesn't require too much brain power. Like I said, I can just like watch Netflix while I'm doing it. So I mean, it's fun work. I mean, maybe fun's not the right word, but it's not like I don't dislike it. I'll put it that way. I would much rather edit these photos all day than spend a second making store assets for Steam. but yeah, I guess that's sort of where we are with Cat President right now. As for Internet Court, I have 8 pages left of case number 3 to get through. I'm on kind of the easy part too, like I was talking about last month, the part with the, well, I guess I shouldn't, the emoji stuff. I'll just leave it at that.
Yes.
Which, as soon as I saw the first completed scene with that character, I did burst out laughing, so I think that's a good sign.
That's great. It's funny, because that puzzle dates from the,
I know!
The original version of the Kidnapped Prom Queen when it was a visual novel. I just stole that puzzle and threw it in another game.
Oh, it's a fun puzzle, I think.
I don't know, I like that character so much that character managed to make the cut in this version of the Kidnapped Prom Queen. I know I cut out like 2 or 3 of the characters. But yeah, I kept the person who's obsessed with her phone, so that's fun.
Are there any different emoji puzzles in this game?
There are none, unfortunately. Oh, I didn't know how I would be able to program it.
Right, yeah. But yeah, so things are progressing quite well with Internet Court. I'm very, very happy about that. I guess we should figure out at some point. We were talking before about the character that Kelly just recorded the footage for. We need to figure out what to do for her dialogue that is sort of spoken off camera.
Well, I just messaged her. So
oh, you did?
I'm
okay,
hear
cool.
Back from the
perfect.
Like I said, I'm offering her the role of doing artwork for Kidnapped Prom Queens.
Yeah,
so
that's awesome.
I'll try to bring that up, or at least I'm supposed to have a conversation with her sometime soon.
Cool, yeah, I mean, it's no
rush. Or she'll just ignore my text message and we'll never hear anything.
I'm not on case number 4 yet, so it's not, I don't need it, like, right this second. But yeah, I think we have other options if she is not interested in it, so we'll figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, one other thing I wanted to briefly mention, we had some fun times this month where our internet just didn't work for an entire week.
I remember that.
Yeah, that was great. If you follow me on Twitter, you probably saw me complaining about it nonstop and tagging Frontier Communications, our alleged internet provider, who seems quite derelict in their duties, to put it mildly. So that made my game dev work a little challenging on both Internet Court and Cat President, too. Basically, what I was doing was I would work until I got to a point where I needed the internet for something. Like for Cat President, that would mean I needed to find some new music or a sound effect or something like that. Or for Internet Court, I learned that my video editing software needs an internet connection or I can't use it. So that was a fun discovery. So what I ended up doing when I was having trouble progressing on those projects was I actually released a couple patches this month. A patch for Cat President 1 and one for Pizza Boy, with some changes that we've been kicking around for a while, like typos and stuff that we've known about for months, and I just hadn't had a chance to fix them yet. So those two games are now very up to date, which is cool.
Typos are the worst.
Yeah. Well, it was the one in the stupid video file that I had to fix. Remember the last chapter video in Pizza Boy? We said ASO instead of also, and I had to like remake the video from scratch because I didn't have the software anymore. That was annoying. But I did it because I respect our art and our fans. And we actually got some nice comments about that too. People appreciated that we're still supporting and updating and fixing these games, you know, years after they originally released. So that made me feel good about spending the time to do it, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd still love to update The Beard in the Mirror at some point. The only obstacle to that being that if I push through an update to the game, it will corrupt everybody's save files.
So. Oh, no.
Yeah. So I have not done anything to that game since release day because I'm terrified of destroying everything. And also, I guess at this point, it's been so many years since I've used AGS that I would be afraid of breaking stuff by accident as well.
Yeah, doing it. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, so that's just, yeah, brief update of where Oroch is at. I'm hopeful that, I'll be finishing the next Pathway in Cat President pretty soon and the next case in Internet Court pretty soon. Fingers crossed, I'd like to release both of these games in 2020. I mean, they kind of have to be, especially Cat President needs to be released before the election, or else what's the point?
Yeah.
But Internet Court 2, I mean, we've been working on this game for a very long time, so I don't want to put it off any longer than I have to at this point. So that's sort of my goal for the coming year.
I've been thinking about the, what do you call it? The Too Many Santas game, just because it's Christmas time.
Yes!
It hasn't actually gotten to the point where I've written anything for it, but I've been thinking about it.
Oh! Do you date the Santas? I forget.
I think so.
Yes! Yes!
We have to, yeah.
Well, yeah, of course.
I wrote, like, 3 lines of dialogue for the mom's game, so that's something that happened.
That's good progress. I've been making steady progress on my little side secret project that I've been writing for. That's fun. The one you were giving me writing tips for a couple months ago.
Oh.
Slow progress.
I was wondering if it would be at all worth the effort to release, you know, 1 Minute Mysteries as a book, because apparently it's not too super difficult to release things as books.
I would buy it. I would put it next to my copy of Stay at Home Detective.
But yeah, no, with the mom's game, that's also what I kicked around sometime too. It's like, oh, well, I could write one of those dramatic romance stories, but mommy love slave in space. That's the romance.
The fake romance titles that appear in the story. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So I'm like, oh, how much of it, you know, from the script could I recycle into an actual story? I'm like, I don't know. But it was something to occupy my mind when I was going on a super long walk. So.
Yeah. Oh.
Should probably focus on, like, actually finishing all the pathways for that game rather than writing spin-off romance novels.
It's fine. I won't be able to start another new game till 2021, so.
I know. That's why it's fine, too.
Yeah. I'm unwilling to give a release time frame for me, either Internet Quarter or Cat President 2 yet. But 2020, that's the dream going into the new year.
Yep, and as I said, I was just handed like a month's worth of stuff to do for the Kidnap Prom Queen, so that'll be delayed for a while. But it looks like they're putting things up like way out in advance, so I have no idea when it would come out anyway.
Okay.
It's like checking their like hosted games releases. Releasing February 6th, March 5th, April 2nd, May 7th. So it looks like right now they're just planning one per month. So if my game you know, fits on this list, then that'd be May, June, July, August, September or something.
Wow, yeah. Well, I was gonna say it should come out in the spring or around prom season.
That would be great.
Good way to promote it. Get ready for prom by playing this game.
Yeah, try not to get kidnapped.
Yes, perfect.
Spoiler alert, you get kidnapped no matter what.
I'm not playing this game now. No, I know what happens.
Aww.
All right. I think that about does it for this month's episode. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Paul M. Franzen, and Michael is at Argelfump, spelled exactly as it sounds. You can check out all of our games on Steam or itch.io, or just visit orock.com for the complete library. Please check out the website. I just paid money to renew it for another couple years, so make my investment worthwhile. Our theme song is Dead Monster by March of the Danger Men. You can check them out on SoundCloud. And finally, if you have any questions about game development or our games specifically, we'd love to hear them. Email them to podcast@orock.com. Is there anything that you would like to add, Michael?
Have a happy Christmas, happy New Year.
Yeah.
From the Cheermeister.
All right. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye. I got like two zits popped.
Nope, this is horrible. Nope, I hate this. Never mind.
So the
I don't want to hear.
I'm
about
trying
your
to figure zit. Out the correct way to say. Anyway, my 3-year old started poking at it. It's like, oh, you've got a button on your face.
No.
So that was fun.
Oh, my mom keeps asking me when I'm going to have kids, and stories like this don't make me want to do it.